listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Well, grace to you and peace from God who creates us, from Jesus who has mercy and heals us, and from the Holy Spirit who challenges us and moves among us, even now, even today. Amen. On the way to Jerusalem is what our gospel text starts with. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, it says, but then he encounters a group. And I want you today to pay attention to directionality in Scripture. There was this group, and I wonder, was this group on the way with Jesus to Jerusalem? No, I don't think he was. I don't think they were. So Jesus is moving this way, right? And he encounters a group. And so they're moving this way. It's not rocket science. But there's a crossing that happens, you see. There's a cross that happens. Jesus is going this way, and this group of lepers is going this way. Directionality, where people are going. This is important. This is good to think about. It is happening all the time. We make crosses like this all the time in our lives. Think about all the crosses you've made where you're going this way, and you encounter someone who's going that way, not just physically. We meet people physically on the street and things, but there's other ways that we're headed this way and we meet someone else who's going that way. So it's a chance today to think about this encounter, this intersection. Think how many crosses you've made this past week with people. Pay attention as this new week starts. All the crosses. I'm going this way and I'm encountering somebody who's going that way. Jesus makes a cross today with these 10 lepers, and we have a text where this cross is a cross of healing. It's good to think about that with the kids at the baptismal font, the cross of healing. Jesus makes a cross of peace today in our text. Jesus makes a cross of salvation. Actually, that word salvation, it's Latin. It comes from the word salvus, which means healing. So when we talk about salvation, healing is always wrapped up in that. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. He encounters this group of lepers. It says they kept their distance, but knowing who Jesus was, they cry out, "Master, have mercy on us." Jesus, Master, they say, have mercy on us. It's interesting that they don't actually ask to be healed, even though that's what we assume they all want. But their words are the same words we use so often in worship. Kyrie eleison. We're not singing that piece during this season, but so often we would sing Kyrie eleison, which means literally, we're quoting this passage in Scripture. Master, Kyrie eleison, have mercy on us. Kyrie eleison. And Jesus responds immediately by sending them to the priest. He doesn't invite them, as he's going this way, he doesn't invite them to come with him to Jerusalem. He simply sends them to the priest. I imagine that he just invited them to keep moving this way and go see the priest. So he allowed them to just keep making the direction that they were already in. Almost like they were asking for directions. And Jesus says, yes, gives them instructions. Go and show yourself to the priest. And so they do. They are desperate for healing. They are desperate to be rid of the state of rejection. We see some glimpses of this in the first lesson too. If you were a leper, nobody would come near you. You were absolutely an outsider. You were unclean. You couldn't even come into the town, the village. We have friends and family who get sick and we rush to go see them right away. Well, in that time, you wouldn't get close to the lepers. Imagine the impact that would have. Maybe you've had leper-like experiences for one reason or another in your life, and you know what it's like to be left on the outside, outside the village, outside the community. They were desperate to be rid of this state of rejection everywhere they go, and so they're going to do whatever the master tells them to do. And as they follow Jesus' instructions, not once they get to the priest, but as they are going, having encountered the healing presence of the living Christ, The text says they were made clean. They were made clean. All 10 of them received this being made clean. Only one of them, though, as the text says, comes back. Only one of them, the tithe, the tenth, one-tenth, comes back. Did this one who came back, I wonder, did his directionality then merge with Jesus' directionality? We don't know what happens after that. Jesus invites him to get up and go his way, but did his way then become Jesus' way, I wonder? Did he follow Jesus onto what was next? Did he go a new direction from that day on? I wanted to just talk about that sign of the cross and invite you to remember to, when you do this, forehead and then your chest and then either shoulder and then come back to the center. Because I think this is an embodiment of our story today. Here we have Jesus moving in one direction and the lepers moving in another direction, but then one comes back. So it's a nice image of coming back to the center. There's only one that did that. The others just kept going this way. We're invited to think today about coming back to the center. That one comes back and remembers how he received so much, how he received this healing, that it was this Jesus. He prostrates himself, which is a symbol of just surrendering everything. It's like when our acolytes lift up the offering plates. That's a sort of prostrating. This is, we give you everything, God. We remember everything we have comes from you. It belongs to you, and we give thanks. This one leper is coming back, prostrating himself before Jesus, and then Jesus blesses him and says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Friends in Christ, Jesus has mercy on us too, this day and always. Jesus showers our ways with mercy. I'm going this way, God. This is my direction. And yet Christ still chooses to shower that way that we seem to think is ours with mercy and love and forgiveness. And we are made clean too. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. We are given this gift of mercy and grace. Every single one of us. But we are crossing paths with Jesus' salvific power here. And when the healing power of Jesus crosses over us, everything can change. Not that it will. Sometimes we're showered with grace and we just keep on moving in that direction like the other nine. We have this opportunity, though, today to think about that one who comes back to the center. That one who comes back to the center. Everyone receives mercy, but like the one-tenth leper, our directionality can get dialed in with God's directionality as we come back to the center. As we come back and give thanks. We have a text today in the midst of the healing. This is about giving thanks. The healing is much larger and more mysterious than simply the sores going away. Jesus took the sores away from everyone. Everyone gets mercy, but only one was, quote, made well in the text. Only one was made whole. In other words, only one of them was actually faithful to that grace and that mercy. That's that coming back to the center. Many in the world have been made free of their sores, free from a major physical illness, free from oppression, free from blatant injustice and discrimination and rejection on that level of the leper, free from financial hardship. Many have been made free from that. Many have been made free from social alienation. They've got a community. They fit in well. Maybe some of us fit very well into those categories. I've got it pretty good, it's nice to say. Yeah, I've got things pretty good. I'm going along this way. Think of all those people in our lives. Maybe some of us fit in that category. How we too can seem on the world's surface to be in a really good place. Pretty or at least, plenty, or at least enough material goods and security, even happiness. And yet, we're confronted with this question today, but are we whole? We're clean, all of us. We're clean. God throws all this mercy and grace on us. We're clean, but are we well? To use the word from the text today. Are we whole? Are we faithful? Are we truly healed? Has our faith made us well? Has our joyful thanksgiving made us well? how we can give God the credit for our being in such a prosperous state. Much like how I'm sure the other nine probably went and told everyone who performed the miracle, God did it, God healed me. So glad God freed me from my disease. God gave me all this, they will tell others. The sores are gone, see? But are they healed? Are they truly well? Are they faithful? You see, the wholeness, the healing, the full salvation that God offers us, it's all wrapped up in this directionality idea. When our directionality is recalibrated, and joyful thanksgiving actually turns us back to the center where we fall at Jesus' feet, dialing into God's movement, maybe even heading now with Jesus to a new place, to Jerusalem even, then we're really in for the good stuff. And all of it dials back in, not just this, but we come back to the center, recalibrate everything to the heart. Then we're in for the really good stuff, the wholeness that God offers. And that doesn't always mean fun. But in that sacrifice, in that giving praise, in that offering, in that tenth, in that devotion to the one who cures us from our disease, in that morphing of our directionality, that recalibrating, because of our encounter with the living God, our faith makes us well. It makes us well. And get this. Our faith is made well because it becomes the very faith of Christ. Our faith becomes the faith of Christ when we recalibrate, when we come back and give thanks. Think about that this week. Our faith becomes like Jesus' faith. We installed our new bishop yesterday. I mean, we didn't. God did, of course. But the service was up at the University of Maryland, and Bishop Layla Ortiz had the hands laid on her, and all the fanfare was there. It was a beautiful ceremony. And there was a moment after she was installed as our new bishop, first female bishop of our synod. It was a really exciting day. She was given a few moments to say some words, and she just took that opportunity to share with us something that she'd been thinking about, and I've been thinking about it ever since she shared it with us. She said, "This has just been bubbling up for me, and I feel like I need to share this with you all." She's thinking about the church, the synod, the whole church. She says, it keeps coming up in my prayer life that there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus, just knowing about Jesus, some facts, and actually knowing Jesus. And so her prayer for us and part of her leadership, she diagnoses a lot of the illnesses of the church, going back to that. We know about Jesus, we can talk intelligently, and we know our Bibles and things, but do we truly know Jesus? And how we live, how we speak, how we care for one another in this world. When Christ's cross crosses our path, that's that knowing Jesus truly. When that happens, everything changes. Everything changes. Finally, I just have to say this as we study in adult education, honoring our neighbor's faith. We've been in this study for a number of weeks, and we'll stay there just looking at different faith groups, different denominations, different religions. The study is called Honoring Our Neighbor's Faith, and I have to say this. Notice how Jesus treats those of another faith and another culture, in this case, the Samaritan. He treats them with love and with longing, not contempt or condemnation. Theologian and pastor Barbara Brown Taylor talks about this passage as the quintessential story for doing interfaith dialogue. This text that we have today. This is our story for interfaith dialogue. For those who would not join Jesus on the journey, those who kept going, and maybe that's some of us too. We're just checking things out. We'll just keep moving in our direction. We're not going to come back to the center. It's not time for that. For those who would not join Jesus on the journey, Jesus doesn't spew hatred and curses on them. He longs for them to come back. He longs for that. And he loves them. It's about love and longing with Jesus in Scripture. It's always a peaceful crossing with those who are different, albeit a crossing of longing. If Jesus ever gets angry in Scripture, which he does, it's with his own people. for their lack of faithfulness. There's absolutely no biblical evidence that Jesus hated people of other faiths, people who were different. Some theologians even read this passage as Jesus regarding another's faith as being salvific in its own way. In other words, go your way, whatever way that is, Hindu, Buddhist, Islam, Christian, go your way. Your faith, whatever that faith is, has made you well. That's how some scholars will read this passage. I think it's powerful. It's a good starting place to think about interreligious dialogue. It's a different way of looking at it. However we read this, I think we must pick up Jesus' reverence and love for those who are different. I mean, he takes their sores away. He takes their leprosy, their isolation, their rejection away. They can be welcomed back into their communities. All of the lepers, all of the foreigners, Jesus makes clean. And in the end, isn't that all of us? Aren't we all lepers, outsiders, beggars, as Luther said on his deathbed? We are all beggars in the end. Aren't we all foreigners, foreign, alienated from God, God's path, God's way for us because of our sinfulness and our self-centeredness? Aren't we all coming to Jesus begging for mercy and crying out for wholeness? Sisters and brothers in Christ, in the end, Jesus does offer us not just cleanliness, not just making us clean, but in the end, Jesus does offer us healing, offer us life. We are changed and forever changed in our encounter here with the living Christ. Every Sunday, every time we gather, we encounter the living Christ in this place, in the healing waters of baptism, in the life-giving meal of Holy Communion, in the laying on of hands in our prayers for healing today, in this community that we share with one another, in our eating and drinking Christ, in our singing and our praying and our caring for one another and our side-by-side reaching outward beyond ourselves. Jesus loves us and longs for us in whatever our directionality was. Today, Jesus invites us back into his directionality. Friends, we have been made clean today. May that trust and faith to journey now with Christ be yours this day and into eternity. Amen.
Us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.